Saquon Barkley. Touchdown.
I've been hearing about men that don't like football. So that's really
is that right? It must be really nerdy.
Oh, my goodness. Matt, are your husband looking football?
He look at it sometimes. It's since he had them strokes, he don't do it too much. But he'll do look at it, but he most look at that soccer.
Oh, really?
And wrestling.
Oh,
even I look at football. I love football.
Well, you can have it, Ann.
Yeah, I'm hearing more women liking it here lately.
Look like lately, you right, Brenda.
Okay. Hey, good evening. I heard someone ring in. Good evening, Weapon Call.
Good evening. Good evening. God bless.
Good evening.
Mr. Kiefer, how are you?
I am wonderfully well. Praise God for the day.
All right. As Deacon Connor said, the professor.
Have mercy.
He'd be laying it down. He'd be laying it down. I feel like I'm in a classroom at Yale University. Good evening. Welcome.
Ooh, that's... Amen.
Good evening, and blessings to all.
Good evening.
Hope all is well with you guys.
All is well in love.
Well.
Good evening. Amen.
Welcome to the call. We'll start in another couple of minutes here.
Well, I know everybody that has eaten a truckload for Thanksgiving. I guess for Christmas you lose weight because most time you don't eat as much at Christmas. You don't eat.
I don't think so, Sister Brenda. I don't think so. You know, they used to say, you know that old saying, my eyes is bigger than my gut.
Yeah.
The more I see, the less I eat. That's what happens.
Well, sometimes I've heard people, you know, when they say they cook the food, they'd be too tired to eat it, or they'd be to cook so much they're tired of looking at it or something. But I don't think that's quite true either. You still want to eat.
It works like that for me, Sister Brenda. I get through cooking that food, I do not want it. I may eat some later on, but it just like it works that way for me. Just don't want it.
Don't want it.
Yeah. Artist Carter ain't like that.
Okay.
I mean, I think I had me a few of these chitlins. I was telling Sunshine a few minutes ago, all the chitlins were gone. They're gone. Mm-hmm. We still got ribs and seafood dressing and them little Cornish hens.
That is what I am determined to buy me. If I see one this week, I'm going to buy it. I have never had a Cornish hen.
Really?
No, so I'm going to buy me one. Just see how it tastes.
Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Good evening, welcome caller. Good evening, welcome to the call.
They say you cook it just like a chicken, don't you? A turkey, bake it, or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it probably
cook them the same way, pretty much.
It's a little.
Yeah, they're just chicken, just a little chicken.
Mhm.
So there's really
night.
Some hens that little in real life.
Whatever.
We'd be surprised some of the creatures God made we never seen or heard of.
Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you land. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pastures. Enter into his gate with thanksgiving and to his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. As we prepare our lesson tonight.
Well,
amen, amen.
Amen.
Before it's about 7:05 p.m. And we are ready for our walk in the word this evening. Welcome to the JPM.E, reaching prayer, praise, equipment, equipping by teaching in the course of Matthew 28:19-24. I am your host, Clarence Conner Jr., and we are ready to begin our walk in the word this evening. Well, welcome on the behalf of Gathering Place Beyond the Wall. Gates of Prayer. Out of the Box Ministries. And Thursday in the Scripture by Minister Mary Whitfield. So we welcome you to the Walk in the Word. We're going to begin this night with prayer. Sunshine, will you take us to the throne of grace? And if Sister Milton is not on, we will have a song by someone else. Then we will have the Lord's Supper, and then we will proceed on to our walk in the Word. We are ready.
Lord God, our Father, Lord, we come this evening saying thank you. Lord, we thank you for life, health, and strength. Lord, we thank you that you've kept us this day. You have brought us down to the 7 p.m. hour, and for that we're so grateful. Lord, we are just grateful to be able to call into this line one more time to hear each other's voice and say hello to one another. Lord, I come right now in the name of Jesus asking that you forgive us for our sins, God.
Yes.
We ask that you cleanse our heart, cleanse our mind, Lord God.
Yes.
Lord, continue to order our footsteps in your way, God.
Yes.
Lord, I pray right now in the name of Jesus for the bereaved, for the sick, for the shut in.
Yeah.
Lord, I pray right now for the ministers who come on this line and give us your word, Lord God. I lift up Minister Deborah Sinkerton to you right now. I lift up Apostle Aline Atside to you right now, God. I lift up Professor Reggie Keifel to you, God. Lord, we ask right now that you give them a double portion, God. We ask that you enlarge their territories. Continue to lead them, God, as they lead us, your people. Lord, I lift up every household that's on this line. You know what we're
doing. Yes, yes.
I ask right now that you meet us at our touch of need, God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Sweet Holy Spirit, I ask that you follow us on this line tonight. I ask that you open up our ears and our hearts so that we can hear from heaven. And not only hear the word, but be a doer of the word, Lord God.
Yes.
I thank you. I thank you, Lord God. I just thank you this day. I just thank you, God, because you've been mighty good to me. Lord, have your way. Have your way. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Is Sister Milton on? Let us pray.
Yes, sir.
Okay. We're ready.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Father, I sing.
Yes, yes, Lord.
I
sing, sing.
To thee.
Thank
you, Lord.
To bless us in our fellowship with one another. I thank God for the prayer to invoke the aid of our deity in our presence tonight. I thank God for that song of praise.
Yes.
No one could put it together like the old Negroes singing to a God that they needed to stay in contact with in the midst of their challenge and struggle in this country. Father, I just thank you. And I thank you, all of you all, for being on the line. And as we're coming through this Thanksgiving holiday, where we've been thankful to our Lord, and I heard some people mention some Cornish hens, some ribs, some turkey. Hallelujah. I started thinking about how full I feel even today. Hallelujah.
All right.
Oh, God. We're so thankful for his bountiful blessings upon us in our celebration and giving honor to God and thanksgiving and celebration and fellowship with family and friends or whoever you may have been with on the holiday of Thanksgiving. So we thank God that all of you made it safe if you were traveling, that God gave you traveling mercy and grace. Isn't that wonderful? And I know some may have been with family and friends or whatever the case may be. No matter how small or how large the gathering was or the crowd was, surely if two or three of you were gathered to give thanks to our God and our Lord and Savior was in the midst, then you were blessed by the time that you spent. I had an opportunity to tell my family members, we're a small family, a few of us that got together, and I said that it's not the size of the family, but it's the heart. It's the heart of the family, the heart of the family toward one another, the love that we have for one another, the love that we have for our God, and to see our family knowing that our foreparents, you know, had brought us to a point that we were able to even share together as family. So God is good. So I pray that all of you had a great Thanksgiving. I didn't want to get too far into that, but I could see in my mind as Sister Susie was singing
just an outstretched arm as I'm stretching my hands to him. If we stretch our hands to him, knowing that our help comes from him who created the heavens and the earth.
Yeah.
So we stretch our hands to our Father, and we give thanks to our Lord. I won't keep you long tonight. You know, as I was approached and asked about doing this tonight, you know, I immediately went to the Lord and said, okay, Lord, we're entering into this holiday season where we come up to the day that we call Christmas, where we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I know that Apostle Asside, and I know that Dr. Singleton, and I know that all the ministers that are on the line may have an opportunity to share a message or messages through this holiday season. So we come, and it's a good reminder of what we're doing. And so as this is the first day of December, in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I you know, as we're moving forward, I hope I'm not out of order. I just thought about it. I'm not sure if communion was to come before or after this lesson.
That's okay. We'll do it afterwards.
Okay, then we'll continue to move forward by the grace of God with this message. So as we move into this day, this is the first day of December. And, of course, it's a day of communing and fellowshipping in the Lord through our Holy Communion. But as we start this month, as we start looking forward to that date that we celebrate the birth of Jesus, we will try to lay some ground. So as I'm starting out, I'll consider myself somewhat of a forerunner tonight of what's to come. Amen. So God is going to bless us with even more each week as we come together on this line. So I plan to be here every Sunday coming up to that day in anticipation of what God is going to speak to us concerning this time of the year and the Word of God. I'm going to take as my topic tonight, Joseph. Talking about Joseph, the man Joseph that's spoken about in Matthew chapter 1. So my message is Joseph, overlooked but not forgotten. A man overlooked many times but not forgotten. A man who finds himself in the background of the text, not ever having spoke a word, but showed us something about himself by his actions in his life. Joseph, a man who sometimes is overlooked, but we should never forget him. And tonight, as we look at the text that I've chosen tonight, which is Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, through 25. That's our base text tonight. So as we go through this text, we want to look at some things in the scripture. We want to look at Joseph's dilemma that he faced. We want to look at the dream that he had.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, the decision that he made.
We
want to look at this, and we can see the characters. As I prepare us for just walking through this text, I want you to walk with me tonight. Just walk with me tonight a little bit. As we prepare, we think about the cast of characters that we may run into in the text. We know Joseph is there. There's mention of Mary in the text. There's even mention about her pregnancy in the text. Of course, there's an angel, Gabriel, that's mentioned in the text. And we may go beyond this text and look at Luke's account and try to tie into some other characters that may help us as we look through this situation facing Joseph as he was walking through this journey of his life. We want to get a realness of what Joseph was thinking, what was on his mind, what he may have been thinking. We don't know, so sometimes we kind of read a little into the text as we eisegesic. We kind of try to imagine in our hearts and mind what he may have been going through in his dilemma. We'll look at some of the emotions that he may have gone through. You know, Joseph probably experienced some happiness at the beginning of this journey of his life, but we know that some things ended up in shock. Even there was a time maybe of some confusion, mm-hmm. and even time of maybe fear. When all of us sometimes face different parts in our lives where we are happy, things are going good, we just made a good decision and things are working the way we want to, but then something comes along to rock our world and knock us off a little bit. Some things will shock us. You ever had that look on your face of shock and dismay? I can't believe that just happened. I can't believe I just heard this. Then sometimes we come into a state, even in the midst of that, after shock, we become confused. What is this? What am I to do in this situation? Let's try to learn something for the life of Joseph in terms of how to face situations that throw us off, confuse us, even create a little fear, because we know whatever decision we make next, that next decision that we make may be critical to what's going to happen in the future of what's going to take place. So once we get our bearing together and we become resolved, Deacon Connor, in our decision, we know how to move forward by God's grace. And we're going to see how Joseph, hallelujah, became resolved in his decision making. So I won't keep you long. So let's look at this text tonight. And in Matthew chapter 1, beginning at verse 18, the text began as it tells us, this is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. So Matthew is trying to let us know how this birth came about, meaning that as I look at this, it makes me wonder, could there be something that we're going to run into in this journey that may give us an indication that this birth could have been in a situation where it may have been aborted? Maybe not in the sense that we talk about abortion. I don't think they had that ability, but it be sidetracked in some way or made a mockery of in some way. So it goes on to tell us that his mother Mary, referring to Jesus, was pledged to be married to Joseph. He was pledged to be married to Joseph. So she was pledged to him, meaning that she was, we say the word a lot of time, engaged to him, but the word of the Hebrew there is to be betrothed. And if we think of that word, that's a word we don't tend to use today because we don't really do engagements the way that they did it back during that time. Because in the ancient Jewish marriage, some of those marriages, hallelujah, should I say the way they did come together was sort of a negotiating of a match between the man and the woman. In other words, it was somewhat of a prearranged situation. As a rule, the father arranged the match. The fathers did. The fathers of the groom, the father of the bride. And the girl was consulted, but the calling of the damsel and inquiring at her mouth after the conclusion of the negotiations was just a formality. So this is something that we don't think about how they came, because we only have a few verses of scripture here, but this was a big dilemma for Joseph. And when I think about it, if it had not been for Joseph, oh, I don't know. He assisted in the process of getting us to the point where we have Christmas. Well, you're going to see how that happened in a minute. So in those days, a father was was more concerned about the marriage of his son than about the marriage of the daughters. So no expense was involved when he had to marry off a daughter because it came from the other side. Now, the father received a daughter dowry for his daughter, whereas
mm-hmm.
he had
That's
to
right.
give a dowry to the prospective father-in-law of his sons when they married him off. So what I want y'all to understand here is that there was some type of payment that was made by the father of the man to the
mm-hmm.
father of the girl.
That's right.
That word
right.
that it was called a mohar. It was a purchase gift. It was
mm-hmm.
something that he gave to the father of the to be bride. This
mm-hmm.
mohar. The term is a term to show that something was given. It was some payment, some money, some payment. And that
yes.
payment was to be held. It was not always paid in cash. It could be paid in other ways, even in service. So it was given
mm-hmm.
to the father of the bride for him to hold it. He had to hold it because there's some other things that could happen in their culture that he had to be prepared for.
Mm-hmm.
He would hold it because there could be something that could occur during the time of betrothal, that time of engagement, which could go anywhere from a period of 6 months to a year. In other words,
mm-hmm.
they were engaged. There was a contract side. They got together and they did this contract agreement that this, my son and your daughter, were going to be married.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when they did this, they made this decision. The daughter could be somewhere between the ages of 13 and 14, kind of unheard of in our culture today. We don't think about
well,
that. Even
well,
though the man
well.
May have been older, normally he was older, but
mm-hmm.
but the girl could be young in our culture concept, 13, 14 years of age, 15, whatever the case may be. And so this arrangement was made after they checked out each other's child. So that it wasn't that they did it blindly. They wanted to make sure that certain things were maintained in the purity and sanctity of the process. In other words, they may be concerned about virginity. You know,
mm-hmm.
are these people pure? Is the daughter pure? Is the son
mm-hmm.
pure? And they wanted to make
mm-hmm.
sure when they made this arrangement that it was in this contract where the father of the son paid this money. Because you've got to remember now, if something was to happen during that period of engagement, the way their engagement was more like a marriage is for us. It was a contract done. There was no consummation done, but there was a contract done. And so because there was a contract, they had entered into this engagement period, a betrothal period, and they were not where they had any major contact of any with each other. So they were not in contact. So this purchase was made so that they could get married. And so during that period of time, like I say, somewhere between 6 months to a year, after 6 months normally is about a time that they could maybe go forth with the consummation of the marriage. Maybe it would take a year or whatever. But during that period of time while they were waiting, you know, things could kind of happen or things could be, you know, worked out. And in some cases, just the amount of money that the father of the male, the boy, had given, that boy had to prepare himself for marriage. So he had this 6 months to a year. We do have that in our engagement period a lot of time. You know, that we wait. People would wait 6 months to a year before they actually go through the marriage ceremony. But they had already been through the contractual portion of it, but they had not consummated it.
Mm-hmm.
And so trying to move forward in this thing and trying to understand where Joseph was in this, he's in this period of engagement. He's in this period of engagement waiting for the time for which they would be able to consummate this marriage. And as we know, in this text, we don't have a lot of time elapsed, because right after the text tells us that he was pledged to her or engaged to her or betrothed to her, we find out, he finds out that before they had come together for consummation, that Mary had been found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Now, they said that and left out a whole lot of stuff, but we can get a little few pieces of it from the scripture text if we go to Luke chapter 1. So when we go to Luke chapter 1, we see in that text where Mary has been visited by the angel Gabriel. And I won't read all of that, but you know where that is in the gospel according to Luke. Chapter 1, where the birth of Jesus is foretold, and the angel comes to Mary and tells her that she has been chosen for this, to take on this birth of this child by the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And, of course, she didn't understand how this would be, but she submitted to that. But even in her doing that, she probably had some confusion. So what I'm trying to do is draw a picture here, Deacon Carter, that from the time that he got engaged to the time that's passing by now, there was a lot of stuff happening. Mm-hmm. The angel came to Mary and said, Mary, you're going to be with child of the Holy Spirit. She didn't understand how that could be, because this is beyond our mortal minds. How could she do that, being that she never knew a man? She hasn't been with a man. She wasn't planning to be with a man except for Joseph when they got ready to consummate their marriage. How could this be, since she's a virgin? And, you know, the angel told her that the Holy Spirit would come on you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so that the Holy One to be born would be called the Son of God. And then the angel gives her a little help. She said, well, you got a cousin by the name of Elizabeth who's going to have a child in her own age. So she knows a little bit about miraculous births, her pregnancy. Mm-hmm. So she, who was said to be unable to conceive, is in her 6 months of pregnancy. Mm. And so for no word that ever comes from God will ever fail. So if God said it, it's going to come to pass. And so the angel tells her what's going to happen to her, but gives her encouragement. And so what does she do? She goes to visit her cousin Elizabeth. She goes to visit Elizabeth.
Mm-hmm.
And when she goes over there to visit Elizabeth, you know the story where she speaks and the baby jumps in Elizabeth's womb, and so she's there. So she says to Mary that she was blessed to be able to be chosen to have this child. She's blessed among women, blessed at the child that you would bear. But why am I so favored, Mary wanted to know, that the mother of my Lord would come to me? So Elizabeth wants to know. And so the sound of the greeting in her ears, the baby leaped in her womb. Yes, so we know that Mary stayed there for 3 months before she returned home. So she waited for 3 months. So that gives us some indication that by the time that Mary got back and maybe had an encounter with Joseph, he was probably 3 months pregnant at least. She was at a point where she needed to tell something. She needed to say something before they consummate their marriage. But let's go back to our text in Matthew and just kind of walk through this. Like I said, I want to keep it long. There's a lot here if we wanted to break it down further. But because Joseph, when he found out that she was pregnant, we could imagine that he was shocked. And he was probably having a little problem with that. I don't know how you would feel about it, any brothers on the line, any men on the line, if we found out that the woman that we were engaged to, we had not been with intimately, comes up and tells us that she is pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
So Joseph was in a situation, and he wasn't, I could imagine what was going through his mind. How could this be? How could this happen? What has happened here? Surely somebody has done this, and you have become pregnant. Because at that time, ladies, you got to help me. Maybe at that time she was beginning to, starting to show a little bit, or getting, it was before she was probably going into a second trimester. And so she had to say something before this occurred. I would assume that it must have taken place privately, because the scripture tells us in Matthew chapter 1, it tells us that because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, that he had in mind to divorce her quietly. So what we find out about Joseph, we find out that Joseph, like I said, was in this dilemma, and he was shocked and a little confused of what he was going to do. He loved Mary.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he loved her, but he also was faithful to the law. So that tells me that Joseph knew something about the law, but he was a righteous, and that part of the text is letting us know that he was faithful to the law, and yet he was a righteous man, but he did not want to expose her to public disgrace. So he had a heart of compassion, even in this situation. Even in this situation, how many times have we found ourselves in tough situations where, oh my goodness, we didn't want it to become publicly known as something that could cause shame and disgrace. And, you know, even the law was so tough back then. Even the law was tough, and he may have been having the law go through his head. What should I do? What can I do? How should I handle this situation? He may have been reflecting on, maybe this was something that happened that might have fell into Deuteronomy chapter 24. Now, like I said, they had not consummated the marriage, but he could issue her a writ of divorcement in the midst of this. And so the period of betrothal was just like being married. So when a man takes this wife and marries her, and he finds no favor in her eyes because he has found some indecency, then he can write her a certificate of divorce and put it in her hand and send her away from his house. So he was thinking about it. That's what the law says. I could follow the law. I could do this, and I would be in my right to do this. Even if I went into Deuteronomy 22 and I looked at it, that if I find her not to be a virgin, and when I marry her, then I could put her in a situation where she could be stoned to death.
Mm-hmm.
And if it was a matter of adultery, then she could be, and the guy, if he could find out who it was, could be stoned to death.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think about the woman caught in adultery, and she was in a situation, a dilemma. She came to the Lord Jesus. They brought her to him to try to trap him and trick him. But God, in his infinite wisdom, Jesus knew how to handle things, and so Jesus handled that. We know how he handled that. But here's Joseph in a similar situation, but he's involved because he's the one that's betrothed, espoused to Mary. He could do these things, but he didn't want to make a public spectacle of her and put her in a situation where she would be embarrassed. That would bring shame or disgrace. But he said, I can just divorce her quietly and just give her the writ and she could go. But apparently, after he was pondering over these things and how he's going to react to the situation, I don't know how he reacted in front of Mary. I don't know if he showed any particular emotion, but we can see that in his character, he was thinking about something that he had to do that may have been tough.
Mm-hmm.
But he decided he wanted to do it in tenderness. And he didn't want to be hasty in what he decided, so he was thoughtful in his actions. So Joseph was thoughtful. And the text goes on and tells us in verse 20, but after he had considered all of these things, you see, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. This is the angel Gabriel. And that angel said to him, Apostle Asai, Joseph, son of David. He calls him by a title. He said, Joseph, son of David. You from the lineage of David. He said, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife.
Mm-hmm.
Because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Now, he not only came to Joseph and let him know that Mary was carrying this child of the Holy Spirit, he told him, not only do you have to take her, the wife, you got to name the child.
Amen.
And you're going to name him Jesus because of what his purpose is for being alive, why he's here in this flesh. And I could imagine that Joseph, Deacon Connor, was, what a dream. Anybody ever had a dream that was so vivid and so straight? God was speaking to them. And they had to decide what they were going to do because they heard the voice of God. God is giving you a tough decision to make, a difficult decision, a dilemma, and he's saying this is what you must do.
Mm-hmm.
What he's asking Joseph to do is against natural human nature.
Mm-hmm.
Most
Amen.
Men would have got rid of her right away as soon as they found out
sir.
That she was pregnant. Wouldn't have thought
yes,
about
sir.
It. Wouldn't have had a second thought. But Joseph was a man who apparently thought things out. We don't have a lot of things that Joseph is saying. You know, Joseph ain't saying nothing, yet he's thinking. So we need to think things through a little bit. We need to ponder on it and wait for the Lord to answer or give us a way to deal with it. Because maybe his way is not our way. His thought is not our thought, because God is working out something miraculous here. Then it goes on to say that all this took place to fulfill what the Lord has said through the prophet Isaiah, that the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And so Joseph had to take all of this in. This is a carpenter. Let's understand, this is a working man from the working class of his society, one who worked with his hands, one who built things, one who worked and made a living through his hands working. And he's got a situation in which he doesn't have a lawyer to help him through it, but he knows the law because he heard him talking about it, because he knows what the Torah said about this thing. But now the angel has spoken to him. When you hear the voice of God, it will stop you sometimes in your track. I remember hearing the voice of God, and sometimes when you hear it, I say, huh? Really? Wait a minute. Okay, God. You know, because sometimes it's going to be something that's against your natural being. But he did care enough about her that he did not want to embarrass her, but he still struggled in the decision until God spoke through the angel. And so we see that he was trusting and did not doubt what the angel said to him. Yes, he didn't doubt. He was patient, and he didn't doubt. And it said that when he woke up, we don't know how long he was asleep, He did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him. And the scripture says he took Mary home as his wife. Yes, 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 yes. But it goes on to tell us that. Now, see, this is what I was talking about this betrothal period. So he went on and completed the process of saying, I'm bringing you home. Yes, I paid the bohar. So that money has been paid. By the way, that money was still kept by the father of the bride, even though he had to bring her to the house that he had set up for her. Knowing that she was pregnant with the Holy Spirit's child, he took that by faith, believing God in his word, that this is what the baby was. And he took them home to the house that he had built. Come on, somebody. He had prepared for his wife. He took her as his wife into the home, and the scripture tells us that he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to the son, who was Jesus, and he gave him that name, Jesus. So he didn't want any confusion. He wanted to follow what the angel had said, and he wanted no doubt, no confusion, that he would mix his seed with the Holy Spirit, because she was already pregnant now. So he did not have any sexual relationship with her until after the child was born. Yes, I don't know if y'all know anybody ever been in a situation like that. That's a tough situation, even when God's talking. Yes, I know somebody who's been in that situation, and they found out that the child that their wife was carrying was not their child. They had to make a decision. There have been some men who have taken that situation on and raised that child that like their child. They accepted it as their child and raised that child. So what I want to say about Joseph is that Joseph knew that this child was not his child. It was a child of the Holy Spirit. I know that when Joseph thought about it and he decided to follow through, he made up his mind. He made a decision. And when he took her home, that child was born, he treated that child like it was his child. Yes, we know it was Jesus. We know it was God. We read the story. We know it was Emmanuel. We know his name was Jesus, Jehovah saved. He took that child and raised that child. Yes, he raised that child because Joseph was a man of integrity. He was a man that was a godly man. But he was a man of compassion. He was a man who cared about Mary, even in the situation that they had found themselves in. But he was a man who cared enough to wait till God spoke to him. He didn't make a rash decision. He didn't just jump up and kick her out or try to get a stone to death or try to get her ashamed or disgrace. You got to love covers. Other people. Now, we talk about glove covering the multitude of sin, but Mary said, I didn't do anything wrong. I was just chosen for this responsibility by God. Chose me to have this child. And I know that God can do it because he did something with Elizabeth when she was in her old age, and he decided to do something in my life. Yes, Joseph took that child. It kind of reminds me, Deacon Connor, it kind of reminds me of Papa Asad. It kind of reminds me of Saints on the Line, Sister Brenda. It kind of reminds me of stepfathers. Yes. Joseph was a stepfather. He stepped in and took the place of the earthly father for this child, because even though he was 100% God, he was also 100% man. He was born as a baby in a manger. So somebody had to nurture. But, you know, we don't hear a whole lot said about Joseph. We don't hear a lot about him in the text. We don't even know how long Joseph lived after Jesus was born. We know he at least lived until Jesus' 12th birthday because it's spoken about in the text, in the scripture. Yes, we know he lived in that. We don't know, but he wasn't seemingly around by the time Jesus started his ministry. He might not have been there when he was around 18, but we do know that he was there in the early stages of his life.
Yes,
yes, there's some songs out there that people sing about Mary and the little child. You know, there's probably no songs out there about Joseph and the baby Jesus. But I could imagine that Joseph had to put him on his knee, just like he was on Mary's knee. Yes, he had to speak life into the child, just like Mary had to speak life into the child. He had to teach the child how to live in this realm, just like Mary was teaching him things to do. Not only that, being the father, he gave him his trade and taught him the trade that he had, that of being a carpenter. Yes, he treated Jesus like his child because he took him on. That was his child. And so I'm glad tonight to be able to say to you that sometimes we overlook people like Joseph. I'm trying to apply it to something in our lives now. We sometimes overlook people like Joseph. But God didn't overlook him. God put him in a situation where he could be used.
Yes.
He could be used by God. Yes, he could be used by God. And what I see here, my brothers and sisters, as I try to end this thoughts about Joseph, I see Joseph being one who provided some leadership for his young child when he was young.
Well,
but you know, it came a time when Jesus said he had to be about his father's business.
Yes.
Not his earthly father, but his heavenly father. But until that time came, God had a task for Joseph to do in raising that child. Yes, I'm talking now because I'm trying to get to an application of this text to our lives today, and particularly to men. But women, if you know a man in a situation, encourage him. Yes, sometimes you may have to step in, men, to be a stepfather for some children. Yes, you got to find a way to come in and help them with your leadership. You got to learn to stand to communicate with them the roles that they should follow in life. Yes, you also got to be able to teach them how to appreciate the life that they have and the things that they have. Yes, you got to be able to show them how to live. Yes, you may have to teach them your ways and the ways of God. You should be a man who puts Christ first. Obviously, Joseph put the Lord first, because if he did it in his own flesh, it would have been a different story. But he had to put the Lord first.
Yes.
It was important that that child be born and be born under his care. Come on, somebody. Yes, Mary was the mother. We see all the pictures of Mary holding the baby Jesus, but Joseph was right there helping that child to grow up like he should in the right way, because he was a righteous man. Yes, Joseph was a righteous man. He was a godly man. He was a godly husband. He then became a godly father. And we know that he and Mary had other children after that. But this child was special and had to be born. Be born the way God said, of the Holy Spirit, of a virgin, just like the scriptures had spoken, the prophets had told and foretold about his birth. Yes, he was a man of integrity. Yes, put Jesus first. You got to learn how to make difficult decisions. Yes, sometimes we have to make difficult decisions. But don't make any decisions without putting your trust in the Lord. Put your trust in God before you decide. Go on your knees and pray that you might hear God. And then once you get up, you have a resolve to do whatever it is that God has put in your spirit to do. Do it as unto the Lord. Yes, Joseph was a man of integrity, a righteous man of God. Listen, in the Hebrew, they have a term that they call a tzaddik. He was a tzaddik, which is a man who is, in the title of the Judaism religion, they use this name, is they give it to a person who is considered righteous. Normally those that are biblical figures, even the other Joseph was a tzaddik. Yes, and so we would need more people who become tzaddiks, who become righteous men, men of integrity, which means that they live in the mindset of justice and righteousness. Yes, he could have justly brought her before the authorities and exposed Mary, but he decided to wait because he loved her, try to do it privately. The Holy Ghost came. The Spirit of God came. The angel came to him and said, no, you got to go a whole lot of steps further than what you're thinking. Appreciate your nice start to try to take care, but no, you got to take her and be your wife. You got to take her and let that child come into this world. And the men normally name the children. Come on, somebody. Yes, I know in the Old Testament there was some situation where women named them. But if I remember correctly, Zachariah had to say what his child name was going to be. Come on, somebody. Yeah, he couldn't even talk until he got ready to speak the name John.
Yeah, right.
It was important for him to take this child on and to name him. He told the angel, said, you name him too. Oh, man, that's something. He said, not only do you have to marry her, help her through the pregnancy, then when this baby is born, you got to name it and you got to raise it. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
That's
Amen.
God. That's how God do. We need more guys that's going to step into the lives of these children and help them along the way. Yes, I know some of them are doing it. See, I know what it's like to be a natural father of the children, but I also know what it's like to be a stepfather. Wait a minute. I know what it's like to be a stepfather. So I've been in both roles. And I can tell y'all on the line tonight, both roles have been a blessing to me. Yes, and the blessing comes in seeing that those children grow up the way that they should. Listen to me. Jesus grew up in stature. And when it was time for him to move forward with his heavenly Father, his Father in heaven, he went on. Nobody else knows what happened to Joseph. Yes, Joseph sometimes is overlooked, but he should never be forgotten. I love this story. I heard some sermons about Joseph, the forgotten man at Christmas. How can he be forgotten?
Right,
we keep talking about it, but sometimes we overlook him because he's in the background of the picture. But that's okay. You know, when we see the nativity scene, he's standing there. Come on, somebody. Mary's holding the baby. He's right there saying, I got you. I got you, Mary. I got you, Jesus. I got you. Because the angel told me. God has already spoke. So tonight, as I close, we in this holiday season. I just wanted to kick it off with that. I hope that you hear the word of the Lord, and I hope that the Lord has given you some things in this story that you might be willing to share with us tonight. I'm so glad tonight that Jesus was born of a virgin. If he had been born of a man, he couldn't die for our sins. He had to be born a different way. I'm so thankful as I learned today, this morning, as Dr. Dale was teaching us this morning, I'm so glad to learn about him redeeming us. He's being our kinsman redeemer. I'm so glad to know even when we look at the lineage of Jesus in Matthew and Luke, one of them deals with the lineage coming down through David, through his son, Nathan.
Yeah.
The other one deals with coming down through David, through his son, Solomon. So God had it covered on the left, and God had it covered on the right. So Joseph gave him his earthly name to cover him from David's lineage. He came through the womb of Mary to be covered by David's lineage. That's why I know he's the King of Kings, and he became the Lord of Lords. Our Lord came during the time of his birth. When he came as Emmanuel, God with us. And so we know that he's always with us. He sent back his Holy Spirit to guide and direct us. So we should never, never feel that we are alone or that we don't have no guidance to get through this.
Yes.
So be encouraged, saints, that God can help us along the way. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that Jesus came. He was born in a manger. I like the fact that he was born in meager beginnings. Yes, I know his father was a carpenter, but they went to the inn and there was no room. So he had to be in a manger because they couldn't get in the inn. They didn't have enough money to buy somebody else's room to kick them out the inn. So they had to go to the manger. But he was born in that little town called Bethlehem. Yes, the house of bread where Jesus is and became the bread of life. Yes, he was born in Bethlehem in Judea. Yes, David, we know now that when Jesus was born, when he got to the point where he announced his public ministry, he said that the Spirit of the Lord was upon him because he had called him to preach the gospel to the poor. So we know that he was born in a manger. He was born in a situation so we can relate to him. Everybody can relate to him. And I thank God that he had kings in his lineage. But he also had some people in his lineage that wasn't good people. Some
all
people
right,
that
then.
We wouldn't consider to be good. And Dr. Deb covered some of that this morning. Yes, there were some women in his lineage that some people wasn't too happy about hearing about. But it let us know that everybody has a right to call Jesus Lord and Savior. Yes, he is Jesus, the one that saved us. He came to save us and deliver us from our sin. He purchased us with his precious blood on Calvary. And I'm so glad tonight that he purchased us, that he came as a little baby, but he grew up to a man of stature and went about doing good and destroying the works of the devil. So we need some more righteous men to follow in the steps, even of a Joseph, even of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us follow him all the way to the end.
Yes, yes.
I just thank him tonight.
Yes,
I want to close this out. I don't want to keep it. I'm going to let y'all get to it. That's all I have to tell you tonight. I thought about this time of the year as I wind it down. I thought about this time of the year.
Mm-hmm.
There are some kids out there that need to hear a word.
Okay.
We want to get out there and tell them something about Jesus. There are some people who are grown who need to hear a word from the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
They need to know that Jesus is the reason for this season. Yes, we do a lot of things and scurry around, but Jesus, let's keep him the focus of the reason for this season. And so I thank God for Joseph. I thank God for the men who are like Joseph. We need more of those men in our lives. And so may God bless us tonight as I close.
Yes,
I just want to sing a Christmas carol for you guys. I'm going to try. I'll be done. Because this one came to my spirit as I was studying this. Oh, come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye, oh, come ye to Bethlehem.
Dang, preacher.
Come and behold him, born the kings of angels. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord.
Amen.
That's the door.
Thank you, Pastor.
Hallelujah.
What a way to open. What a way to open the holidays.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Ooh, thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Comments, questions? I have a comment. Pastor Kiper, you spoke about one of my neighbors. You talked about Joseph. Moved into this neighborhood. And I'm sure most of you would be familiar with the song Color Him Father.
Yes.
I want to color him love. This man moved into my neighborhood. He was a F-15 mechanic out on Robins Air Force Base. He married a woman that had five children. He didn't have any. He moved in. He gave them a place to stay, gave each and every one of them a college opportunity. And he still stands now. He's a good name. He's a Joseph. He's a Joseph. He watches out for my house when I'm on vacation, on the road and everything. And he'll call me up. And he'll let me. He'll move my garbage bin on out to the end of the road so the garbage man can pick it up. I call him Father. I call him Joseph. Amen.
Yeah.
I'm not
Amen.
His name, but he is a Joseph. Amen. Anyone else with comments? He is my hero.
Amen.
Anyone else?
Good evening, Deacon Carter. Good evening, family. Pastor Reggie, thank you so much for the word on tonight as you spoke about Joseph. I'm like Deacon Carter. We need more in your message. We need more men like him in terms of his character. And when we look at his characteristics, to the characteristics that you spoke so well about, and his the compassion that he showed, the being a man of obedience, of being kind, being righteous, being a man of humility, as well as a man that was willing to safeguard the reputation of Mary. It also shows that he was a man who was willing to take risk because it was risky. He was standing in a place where others, I'm quite sure, not just the people in the town, but the men at the gate would gather and they would speak about it. But he was a man that was willing to take a risk, but a man that was aligned to the word, to God. Because it talks about, and the reason why I said that, it talks about, it says that each year that they would go to Jerusalem, they would go to the place in which they would gather, and that lets me know. And two, he was willing to teach his son that was under his tutelage, teaching him, as you said, to work and to provide and to do the various things that he would need to do as he lived in his home. And so it lets me know, even with that, God placed Joseph in the lineage. When we go back and look at the genealogy here in Matthew, we see Joseph's name mentioned there. As a matter of fact, right there in verse number, between verses 12 and 16, we see it says, and Joseph, the husband of Mary, the mother of Jesus, who is called the Messiah. So tonight, again, I thank you for bringing forth one that we see in Scripture, one, as you say, we don't hear very much about, but it lets us know that God had a place for him. God was there with him, and I'm so glad he shows me how to be obedient, as well as we as women can take something from the life of Joseph as being women of integrity and women that walk in obedience to what God has called us to do. So I thank you again for opening us up this first Sunday in December as we begin to look at a king is born. And we know that the king has been born and that we are citizens of the kingdom. But I thank you again as you speak to us and continue to speak to us as we go through this month of December. A king is born. Thank you again.
Amen. Good evening, Church Apostle.
Good evening,
Uncle John. All right, all right. Way I see it, it was love all the way.
Because
she had no inheritance coming. Because she had been in a, what had inherited, it would have went to the son.
Right.
Love.
Yes, yes.
All the way. Love do some crazy things.
Yes.
When we got married, it was based on love because we didn't have enough money for the marriage license. Amen.
No,
Amen. Thank you, Uncle John. Amen. Love. Amen.
Love all around.
God-centered love. Amen.
Amen. Love is the key. Love is the key.
Love amen. The whole story, amen, of the birth of his coming, amen. Mm. And even those he used was all about love, that they would surrender to the plan and to the will of God. It is a blessing that Joseph did not want to bring public shame to her. That was love. He loved her. You know, he could have been angry, about thinking about she had tipped out and could have been an embarrassing to him, but it really was. I think Uncle John said it. It was all about love. Even Christ coming, his dying, his resurrection, all of it was about love. And even to see the love for Mary that Joseph had and the love for God to, you know, put himself out there to keep her from being publicly ill spoken of. And so I thank God for that. When I look at it, as I talked about today, our lifestyle that Jesus talked about in the scriptures, Luke 17 and 32, where he talked about, remember Lot's wife, but he went on to say the person that seeks to save their life will eventually lose it, but the person for his sake that would, you know, lose their life for his sake, then they would wind up gaining their life. And when I think about those things in remembering Lot's wife, we have to be willing sometime to lose the lifestyle that we choose. And, you know, it could, and I'm sure, because people were people back then as they are now, when something like that happened and somebody get, you know, a taste of it in the wind, they take it to the negative part. And Mary probably was ridiculed by some people, even though Joseph covered her. It would have been something just to talk about, and Joseph probably heard some of the gossip also, but he was willing to alter his lifestyle in order to bring the Savior into the world, and, you know, that we could adapt his lifestyle. And that's still what God wants from us today, that we would surrender the way we want to do it, and we would, you know, accept the will of God. And so that's what I look at when I look at Joseph. He was willing to alter his lifestyle, you know, for the plan of God, to be a part of the will of God. And the will of God is the best place to be in this world, even though sometimes we have to give up certain things to do other things, or we have to adapt the will of God into our plan. And sometimes we may have to change some things, and, you know, we may have to hear some things and be talked about and all of that. And I'm sure, because people all through generations have been people, and there are people that love to, you know, get gossip going and love to keep drama going and that kind of thing. And when I look at Joseph and even Mary, that, you know, they were espoused to one another, but they had to have something in common, and they had to love one another. And I do really have hope. A lot of respect for Joseph, even when the Lord came to him and explained to him what was going on. You know, he was willing to go through whatever ridicule he had to cover this woman, this mother of Jesus Christ, to be a part of God's plan, his story. And even with us, God is still writing stories. Hopefully that someday, if the Lord called us home, there'll be people that will benefit from the life we have lived, the service we have given, that we were willing to alter our plans and our own lifestyle in order to help be a part of the fulfilling of the plan and the work of God. And even as Christians and ministers, we have to be willing to do that, to change and alter our lifestyle, to be a part
and play a part in the kingdom of God and in the story of the salvation of souls. And so when I look at Joseph, I look at, because in my mind, how it may have been just a couple of weeks ago, my name was caught up in some gossip that I had no part of, that I wasn't even around, or I didn't even issue anything in the conversation, but I was blamed for something that I didn't do. And sometimes we have to swallow that stuff. We have to just swallow it. We want to say things. We want to, you know, I can imagine Joseph being a man, seemingly he was a humble man, willing to take on, you know, that knowing that it was not his seed, but willing to step in. They called Joseph, some people called Joseph the father in the shadows, because it was not a whole lot known about him, but he was willing to come out of nowhere and step in and take on that responsibility and that role. And I have much respect for him in doing that, because, like I said, people can say some cruel, mean things, and it even be the truth, you know. So when I look at Joseph, I think about life as we know it. People can be mean. They can be cruel. But he was willing to step up when, you know, God came to him. He was willing to obey and to follow through with the plan of God. And we owe much respect to him for not, you know, being that earthly father, but being that guardian. It was a great it was a great calling to be able to step in and you know, minister to the Savior, the Messiah, and who was, you know, coming to save the world. And so it's a lot. It's not a lot said about him, but he done a great thing. And I think Jesus said one time, the woman that washed his hair, that wherever the scripture was preached, that she should be mentioned. And I thank you, Pastor Kuiper, for bringing us that and pointing us into the direction that we're headed for a great holiday, one of the great holidays in the world, that, you know, was telling us how our Savior came into the world. And I do have high regards for Joseph and how he yielded to God's will and God's way. You know, he was wanted to put away privately, that, you know, it wouldn't bring no shame to it. And that takes a man to do, even sometimes to may have hearing the gossip that was said, but going on to do what he yielded himself to God to do. And that sometimes alters our lifestyle. But when we obey the Father, and it's a blessing to be used by him. And so Joseph is owed high regards. Deacon Connor, I know some men that you can color as Joseph. And God is still making those, and it's still good people in the world. It's still people willing to take the pain of hurt and gossip and being talked about and lied on to, you know, do what God has called them to do. And Joseph done it well, and it does sometimes, it changes us sometimes to even do what is written in the scripture as far as the commandments of God. You know, sometimes we have to alter who we are. You know, there was one time people say, I'd fight in a moment, but now we've learned how to take things, how to hear things, and how not to hear things. And when I look at Joseph, I see a leader. I see a godly man. I see a man that is husband material, you know, that is father material, that is willing, somebody say, to step up and take on responsibility that they did not create. But I bless you, Pastor, for that word and for that opening to help point our minds and our thoughts in this season to the Creator that came after he created. Amen. He allowed himself to be recreated by the Father, to come as a babe and to walk before us and to show us the way that we need to go, and to show us how other people have surrendered themselves and gave up possibly their lifestyles or some things they like to do or wanted to do or didn't want to do, you know, to obey God. And a preacher is not something I wanted to do, But we have to give up sometimes some things we want to do and some things we don't want to do. So I see it as altering sometime our lifestyle. But whatever we do for the master's sake, we will not lose reward, but be rewarded instead. I thank God for that word and pointing my mind in the direction of staying and, you know, hovering around this season of the year, which we are celebrating that brought about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and all of those that he used that humbled themselves and obeyed and was willing to give up some things. Because if we follow Jesus, we're going to give up some things.
Amen.
No ifs, ands, and buts about it. We're going to be required to give up some things. But what we gain will be greater than what we gave up. When the disciples asked Jesus, they asked him, you know, we've given up all to follow you. What we going to get? And so he told them that no man has ever given up houses, land, father, sister, brother, whatever, that they will not get more in this life. And in the world to come eternal life. So sometime altering our desires, our want, our wishes will be a bigger blessing when we give those things, our desires and will to the Father, we will be greatly rewarded. God bless each of you. I thank God for that opening in this season tonight, pointing us in a direction for the coming days that we can center so much around our Savior and even the patriarchs that he used in his will and service to teach us lessons. And I thank God for all of you. God bless to all of the ministers, to Dr. Deb and to Pastor Kuiper and to, amen, Minister Whitfield, to all of the women and the men of God that has come by and that is and that will come by in the coming days to remind us and to give us the word of God. God bless each of you. Love you, amen, with the love of God. Pray that you will have a blessed rest of your week and in the coming days that each of us will seek to be used in the service of the Lord. God bless each of you.
Amen.
God bless you. Amen. Thank you, Apostle. Thank you, Apostle. Online and on point. Did I see someone with comments? Amen, amen. Let us pray together on our knees. Let us pray together on our knees. On our knees. When we fall on our knees, turn our
sing deep.
Oh, Lord, have mercy on me.
Yes, do Lord. Do Lord.
Let us drink wine together on our knees. Let us drink together on when we fall on our knees, turn our face to the rising sun. Oh, Lord, have mercy on me. Communion. Communion.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Am I to... Amen. Dr. Dale is taking us into...
Amen, amen. We can move forward our communion on to this evening. As we turn to John 3:16, it reads, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let us pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we praise and thank you for your love shown to us in Jesus Christ.
Yes.
We thank you for his life and ministry, announcing the good news of your kingdom and demonstrating its power in the
Hallelujah.
Lifting of the downtrodden and the healing of the sick and the loving of the loveless. We thank you for his sacrificial death upon the cross, for the redemption of the world, and for your raising him to life again as a foretaste of the glory we shall share. We give you thanks for this bread and this fruit of the vine, symbols of our world and signs of your transforming love. Amen.
Yes. Amen.
1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 through 26 reads, "For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'"
Yes.
This evening, we as disciples, citizens of the kingdom, ambassadors of God, we have gathered at the Lord's Supper table. We realize that it is a divine command because Christ told us to do this. We know that it is a blessed privilege, for the table we come to is the Lord's table and not ours, and Jesus is our host. We realize that it is a necessary memorial. The Lord's Supper reminds us of the cost of our salvation.
Yes.
That Jesus went to the cross for us, paying a debt that we owed that we could not pay. As we come to the table tonight as disciples of Christ, ambassadors for him, we realize that it is an act of faith. The Lord's Supper not only looks back to the cross, but it also looks forward to the crown, forward to his return. Our hope is in his return. When Jesus left the table, he went out to die for us. It is an awesome warning as well to eat the bread and drink of the cup in an unworthy manner. Carries a grave warning. Never be nonchalant or make a mockery of the elements. Do not be frivolous and careless, but rather we must be focused. When we take the bread tonight, the bread represents his body. Yes, his body, him going to Calvary there in our place, being nailed there to the cross in our place, taking the pain, taking the agony for us there at the cross. Yes, it was there at the cross. The song says, at the cross where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. But it was there at the cross, you all, that our Savior body was slain. It was there at the cross in which it was bathed in his own blood. It was there at the cross that he stayed there for you and I. As we take the bread tonight representing his body, let us eat. Now, as we look at the fruit of the vine, yes, it represents the shed blood of Jesus. It represents the blood that was shed for the remission of our sins. It says, Apostle, that he was there. He was unrecognizable. Because he took that which was for us.
He took it upon himself.
Hallelujah.
Yes, I'm so glad that God loved us so much that he sent his only begotten son, that whosoever, what does that mean? Whosoever. That means he's not concerned about your social class, your gender, or your ethnic background. He's saying whosoever. Doesn't matter whether you're a Jew or Gentile. It says whosoever.
Yeah.
So as we take the fruit of the vine, let us remember the shed blood for the remission of our sins. Let us drink. I want to remind us tonight, we as disciples of Christ, we as citizens of the kingdom, we as ambassadors of God, we have a commission. We have been called to go, you all. We have been called to carry out the mandate of Matthew 28:19-20. We have been called to carry it out based on 1 Corinthians 13:4-8, carrying it out as we walk in love. We have been called to carry it out as we allow and submit and surrender to the fruit of the Spirit that is in our lives. Yes? We as disciples of Christ, again, ambassadors, kingdom citizens, to also walk it out with he, Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, living on the inside of us, dwelling inside of us, as we submit and as we surrender and as we walk in obedience. I thank you, Pastor Reggie, for starting us off December the 1st. Let us now begin to go. Let us be intentional, you all. As we walk through the month of December, telling somebody about Jesus, be like the jailer. If a person comes as the jailer came, how can I be saved? Let us be able to walk them through and take them to Romans 10:9-10 and let them know that's just the first step. You got to remain faithful. You got to stay connected to the true vine, John 15. You got to wash your mind in the word of God. You got to turn from walking in darkness and walk in the light. Yes, let us take the opportunity tonight to go and carry out the mandate that we are called forth in Matthew 28:19-20. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Dr. Gail.
Good night, Mama. Good night. night, Aurelia. Good night, Maggie.
Good night,
Ruby.
Good night, Kathy Piper. Thanks for the song. Love you.
Good night.
Patches, good night.
You know, told everybody good night. Now, good night.
Good night. I'll call. When I come back, I'll call you. Bye.
Bye. All right, bye.